I'm John Rutledge, aka Eggsy from visionary rap group The GLC, lover of mystery, disciple of intrigue.
I'm Mike Bubbins, comedian and qualified PE teacher, fan of fact, seeker of proof.
We're on a quest to unexplain the most unexplainable mysteries.
For we are the Unexplainers.
Chairs taped, ornaments down. Tape across all of carpet. Gotta be on the safe side.
Oh God.
Bubsy.
What's it?
Come on in.
I will come in. It's my house. Why are you here?
Huh?
Why is everything covered in tape?
Looks good, doesn't it?
What have you?
Everything is.
Why is everything covered in tape, John?
Just for you, all the whole place. Top to well, I haven't done the upstairs just yet, but
right.
You're looking at me funny.
You've lost me.
Right. Everything in the world is held down, as we know.
Yes.
By ghosts. They stop everything flying off into space.
No.
The poltergeist activity. That's why stuff flies off everywhere. Never heard before of the theory of gravity? Ghosts grabbing everything, holding it into place.
Right.
Let me since just stop the dawn of time.
Let me just stop you for a second there. Did you say gravity?
Yeah, gravity. The theory of the undead using their arms and legs to hold everything into place.
Right. Gravity. The V.
Yeah, gravity. You know, ghosts are around us constantly. But
I don't subscribe to that, by the way.
Well, I think you'll find the moment one of them leaves the room, something flies off.
No.
We don't want that happening here.
In my 46 years on this rock, I've never seen that happen.
You've never seen that happen. That's because they're doing a very good job. And that's why I've given every single ghost in the house the weekend off! No ghosts, no things flying across walls, just you, me.
Could it be no you? I mean, that would be the ideal weekend.
Now, come on, if it wasn't for me, there'd be plates up in the air, rugs across your face. I've kept this sweet as a nut, Michael.
I've taped my kettle to the counter.
Mike, I do this just for you, and I do it with love.
You're an idiot.
Das Poltergeist. Translated from German, it means noisy spirit. These things are like ghost bulls in a china shop, smashing whatever they can grab. I saw a ghost bull in a china shop once, but that's a different case. Anyway, I'm desperate to find one of these tantrum-prone ghouls.
We're in a car, we're moving at some considerable speed towards a place called Mountain Ash Golf Club. The most haunted golf club in the UK is not Mountain Ash, but what I'm going to do is a little...
So your selling point is this is not the most haunted golf club in the UK?
Yeah, not the most haunted golf club by any means in the United Kingdom or the world.
And that is a reason to go there, yeah?
That's what I wanted you to ask.
Well, that's what I just have asked.
We are not one of the first people to report on this event.
So we're not one of the first people to report on an event that isn't one of the biggest in the UK at somewhere that isn't the most haunted place?
Yeah, something on a par with that.
On a par?
Yeah.
Golf club.
See, there's a link. What we're looking at here...
I just thought it was a funny bit of wordplay.
Yeah, well, that as well. What
you being a Burke is par for the course.
That's, so again, par comes up, so we're being drawn in...
Yeah, par comes up in that situation.
Par?
That's not... Par for the course is another golf analogy.
Par.
Yeah, stop saying par.
Par. The par, the ma, all of the family can play golf.
What?
And this is what's wonderful about everything that we know.
Par, P-A-R, not P-A.
Par, par.
Wait, right.
Par, par.
You've gone off course now.
Par. Course. They're all words that link to...
I'd like to hit you with a club.
They're all things that are linked to where we're going today.
I'd like to drag you into a bunker and just beat you with a rake.
Is a rake a golf thing?
Well, you should rake the bunker if you've gone into the sand.
Yeah. Something happened here bigger than hitting a ball in one. Is that the term they use?
I think especially if you don't use sporting analogies.
Okay.
You literally don't know your backside from a hole in the ground.
And a backside is a golfing term?
No, that's a polite way of saying your bottom.
Right, okay.
I'm essentially insulting you.
Right.
But for a family-friendly radio audience.
Oh, okay, good.
I'd love to have a game of golf today. Look at this. Green's looking very nice. They've been well scarified and cut, John.
Scarified, that's a term.
Fairway's looking good. This is radio, but today I'm wearing a pair of tied-up brogues. I've got a nice pink shirt on.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain decorum, there's a certain etiquette.
Right.
You're wearing jean shorts, are they?
Jean shorts, cut them off.
Awful. Is that a Motorhead t-shirt?
Motorhead t-shirt, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even like Motorhead.
I mean, if I was the captain, I wouldn't leave in the door. John had arranged a meeting with club captain Gareth.
Hiya, mate, how's it going?
Not too bad, thanks.
Good, yeah.
As a keen swinger, I was looking forward to discussing bogeys with him.
Images of previous club presidents.
Club captains.
Club captains on the wall there, dating right back to, 1908 was when the...
That's when the club was founded. The pictures there go back to around the 40s, I think.
A lot of the boys got moustaches.
Loads of moustaches there.
As a moustachioed man as well, who plays golf, I feel very home here.
Probably quite popular back in the day, wasn't it? It's coming back in now,
as
though.
Well, as with
Thank
Mike.
You, Gareth. Thank you.
So there's a lot of history in this place.
Yeah.
There's a lot of energy that's built up over the years. Way back in the day, something happened here that you witnessed.
Yeah.
So how long ago?
I think it was 2017 this happened.
What do you say way back? You mean 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Yeah.
All right, so if you unleash the story, but if you start with about 2 years ago and then go into it.
Okay, so about 2 years ago, we were sat in the bar on a Saturday afternoon watching the football scores coming in, and out of nowhere, the club championship shield over behind us up there just miraculously just fell down from his plinth and rocked to the side.
So this is the Aberdare Valley Challenge Shield.
I'll just describe it. So it's quite weighty, 2 foot tall, probably a foot and a half wide. Silver shield.
Probably about as heavy as a big dog.
Yeah. Mm. It'd be a decent sized poodle or like a spaniel.
Yeah.
Like a medium sized dog's worth of weight.
Something amazing happened to this. How many of you were in the room at the time?
Well, it was around 15 of us at the time, yeah.
Did anybody sort of panic?
It was mixed emotions, really. Some did panic. Some people probably didn't even notice that it had moved,
right.
You know.
I mean, mixed emotions, some people crying, other people maybe kissing each other.
I wouldn't go that far, okay. But yeah.
High-ranking Gulf Lieutenant Gareth was downplaying this huge moment. But by using enhanced regression techniques, I could get him to drop his professional guard and reveal yet more poltergeist nuttiness.
Let me just paint a picture of this, Gareth, now. It's a dark winter's night, 11:45, near the witching hour. Outside, the rain was lashing down. Thunder and lightning was flashing across the sky. You huddled together with cloth sacks for protection and perhaps a crucifix to ward off the evil spirits. And as you sat there, the football results came on across that television. You all sat there.
If I can just interject for a second, yeah. There. I don't think Gareth said any of that stuff, did he?
Did you say any of that?
No.
Right.
I remember him saying a bit about the football scores.
Yeah.
The rest of the stuff doesn't ring true to me at all.
Were you trying to ward off evil near the witching hour when?
No. It was more like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
3 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm. So it wasn't near the witching hour and a sort of dead of winter. There's not a possibility of some of you had your eyes closed and were imagining lashing rain or lightning.
None of the lads had crucifixes or like.
No.
No one in the club ever brings in sort of garlic.
No, not to my knowledge.
There was no sort of wolves outside, baying at the moon or stuff.
No, few dogs walking maybe, but no wolves, no.
And the golf club's never had like an old mummy from Egyptian times and
definitely not.
Chased around.
No.
No.
Not to my knowledge.
No one's been burnt at the stake.
Definitely not. No, they'd be banned if that happened.
John had sliced his ball out of bounds and wanted my help to get back on the fairway, but he wasn't getting his hands on my wood.
Is there a way we could recreate what happened? For example, sit in front of the television to watch the football scores. Oh. I go up to the plaque and I pretend to be a poltergeist and kick it off the wall, bang.
Absolutely no way.
Okay. Maybe if we just do a version where you pretend to watch the football scores and Mike just does the football scores. Mike?
Crystal Palace 2, Liverpool 3.
Do the Scottish leagues.
Forfar 4, East Fife 5.
Hearts of Midlothian, how do they do?
Hearts of Midlothian 0, Motherwell 2.
Motherwell, strong team this
decent
season.
Decent side, yeah.
Yeah, decent side. So you're watching the football scores. You know, there's a lot of energy when you're watching football.
Yeah, I guess we were at first wondering what it could have been, but it later turned out there was a small earthquake.
Right. Nothing supernatural, just an earthquake. And
well, that was what was recorded. It was an earthquake in the area which rocked South Wales. You know, that happened to be an effect of it.
That sounds more like
it.
Smaller
earthquake.
Yeah, definitely, 100%.
Right.
That very day, I was at my wife's mother's house in Swansea.
Right.
Around the same time, on a Saturday afternoon, and there was a loud bang, and then some of the cars in the street, the alarms went off.
It's been marked that an earthquake occurred on the same day that you saw that plaque move.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly the same time, actually.
Yeah, but what do you think it could have been, though, that caused that plaque to move?
Well, it's likely to have been an earthquake, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Gareth's bang on there, because, I mean, what's happened is there's been an earthquake that's recorded.
On February 14, 2017, the British Geological Survey measured a 4.4 magnitude earthquake that was felt across South Wales and beyond. Case closed. Unless you're John, in which case still open.
So we know that an earthquake occurred on that day. Do you think, Gareth, that it could have been a combination of an earthquake unleashing a sentient force?
No, it was probably just an earthquake.
Right.
Yeah. I got to say, Gareth, I'm with you. Feel free, if you want to call John an idiot or a time waster, all these things are fine with me.
Let's just say, Gareth, though, for the sake of people who like shaking stuff, Shaking Stevens, people who own Bouncy Castle, those sorts of people.
Yeah.
Let's just say there had not have been an earthquake. Would you agree that plaque came down because one of the club presidents from late 76 was coming back saying, I want to communicate with you?
I would probably disagree.
Yeah, good man, yeah.
Okay.
No, so that's a clear no there.
Right. Anything ever happened here that can't be explained by an earthquake? Just give me something, because I've wasted half a day.
There was an incident in the locker room downstairs where one of the young lads who was up here practicing late on a Saturday evening, he tells people that he had heard laughter from nowhere and then he seen golf balls fall off a cabinet onto the locker room floor, and it caused him to run out of the locker room.
Now, this is interesting. There was definitely not an earthquake happening.
Not that night.
I mean, I would sort of put two and two together there and think that you're in a clubhouse a Saturday evening, boys have a game of golf or a couple of drinks, there may be laughter.
Exactly.
And balls, by their nature, do roll.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, otherwise. Yeah, I mean, putting would be an absolute disaster, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
A golf square would...
Oh, it would be a nightmare.
It'd be a total nightmare, yeah.
They'd have to just redesign the whole game.
Yeah, as you say, I mean, that would be a seismic, pardon the pun, shift in golf if the ball was cube. So the fact they're not cubed means they're going to roll. What do you think about that, Joe?
So that's another story torn apart.
It would take a recorded earthquake to shut down John's poltergeist nonsense. Except a recorded earthquake hadn't shut down John's poltergeist nonsense.
So, Mike, we are here in what looks like an office with what looks like an important lady. What's this got to do with poltergeists?
Right. Well, it looks like an office because it is an office.
Right.
It looks like an important lady because this is Wendy, and she is an important lady. She's a scientist.
Wendy Sadler, physicist, lecturer, and as Mike claims, debunker of myth. Yeah, whatever.
What more do I need to learn?
Learn some facts.
Facts.
Yeah.
Is this right?
I've got some facts.
Seriously?
Yeah. It's my job.
Go on.
Okay, so I'm going to start by telling you the story of a scientist called Vic Tandy. He was an engineer in Coventry University.
And he died and became a poltergeist?
No.
No.
He thought he saw a poltergeist and he went on to do what all good scientists would do and investigate it.
He put the poltergeist in a box, charged people money?
No.
Okay.
No, not Vic. He had a lab that was in a very old building. He was working on his own late one night because he was so dedicated to the cause. And he suddenly started to feel very uncomfortable. So the hairs on his neck went up, his arms were sort of tingling. It got even more dramatic because out of the corner of his eye, he saw a flash of something move across the lab.
Classic.
He turned to look at it.
This is where the blood starts coming out.
Sorry.
It was gone.
Sorry.
He turned to look at it and it was gone. He was a little bit freaked out, but obviously being a scientist, he knew there was probably an explanation. Something you need to know about Vic, he was a fencer.
But how do you go from being a fully paid-up engineer and running a fencing company on the side?
No.
I think
like
Wendy...
D'Artagnan sort of...
Yeah. I mean, for the radio listeners, you're basically miming fencing.
That's what's known as doing a Zorro.
Either you're using maybe a cutlass or a sabre.
It was a foil, fencing foil. So the very thin fencing blades, he was kind of doing a bit of maintenance on it, polishing his foil and...
We've all done that.
Yeah.
Right.
And he clamped it to the table and started to get that same feeling again, sort of the sickness, the shivers, the cold, the drop in temperature.
Diarrhea?
No.
Okay.
No. Anyway, the same thing happened again. He saw something, it disappeared. And then he turned around to where he'd left his foil and it was vibrating really dramatically.
Now, we are getting somewhere here, Michael. So what we're seeing here is a scientific environment with a scientist in who shares the same name as a potential character in Emmerdale Farm witnessing what I call a class one poltergeist experience.
The key part of that sentence is what John calls.
Class one is a specific
scientific?
There's
four or five.
Okay.
One being wobbling the tea. Here an item was wobbling.
Yes.
So that's a class one.
Brilliant. Mike's plan to smash up my beliefs had been chucked across the room by its very own poltergeist. Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you for inviting us in and telling that story.
That is not the end of the story.
That's not the end of that story, Joe.
So this was just the start. So as an engineer, he thinks, is there something in this lab, a tangible scientific explanation, making that blade move?
And
he started to think.
Stop you there?
Must you?
Very briefly, and then you can carry on.
Can I just stop you there?
Go on.
Just let Wendy continue.
Well, can I just stop you there?
Well, no, can you just not stop me there?
Well,
I've stopped
Wendy there, so if I can just...
Why do you need to stop?
No.
Well,
thank you, Wendy.
I need to stop because I just need you to say it was a poltergeist.
No.
But can I just stop you
can
there?
Can I just stop you there and just let Wendy finish the story?
Can I stop you there?
No, you can't, because I'm bigger than you and I'll throw it out a window.
Okay.
You observe something unusual and then you try to measure it and explain it before you can say it is a poltergeist.
See, that's the key bit you miss out. Please continue.
I'll just want to stop you right there.
Clarification.
Well, I just want to say...
No, I think I would like to stop you.
But
No. Don't talk anymore. Don't talk, and then Wendy's going to do the talking.
So...
you're just going to listen.
Right. And Wendy, would you like to carry on? Sorry that Mike interrupted there.
Right. So, his foil was vibrating, and he thought something in the room is creating a change of pressure. One thing that can create pressure waves is sound. So you can measure air pressure using a certain device that usually measures sound waves.
Like a balloon with a tape measure attached to it?
No, it's an electronic thing called a decibel meter. So he went to get one of these and it showed a very strong reading. However, he heard nothing. So he started to think this is a sound that humans can't hear.
Right.
Humans can hear sounds from 20 vibrations in a second, that's 20 hertz, up to 20,000, roughly 20
big
kilohertz.
Range, big range.
A lot of range. Yeah. Higher sounds that we can't hear, it's called ultrasound.
Ultrasound.
There is another thing, the opposite, called infrasound, lower than we can hear. So 20 hertz go below that and we can't hear it anymore. Some animals can hear it, elephants and whales. In fact, this is...
Slugs.
No.
Okay.
No.
Carry on.
And so Vic wondered, maybe this is a sound wave we can't hear. And he found a very low frequency wave, about 19 hertz, just below very good human hearing. 19 hertz is also the resonant frequency of your eyeball.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Right?
This is great.
And all parts of your body have this thing called a resonant frequency, depending on the size of the organ. So your eyeball is one, your kidney might be another,
right.
If you like.
Okay.
It will want to vibrate at different speeds.
Okay.
I can vouch for that.
So what do you think you would roughly vibrate at?
It depends on the organ. The big fella vibrates about 16.
So anyway, so the eyeballs. So why would that explain some stuff? So if your eyeballs are vibrating, you might not feel it, but your eye is then sending like spurious signals to your brain that aren't actually there. This could explain why these flashes of light at the corner of his eye were coming.
That's interesting.
Sound is indeed a powerful force. I talk from bitter experience.
I'll spend a lot of time with John in the car. We might go to North Wales, West Wales. Might be hours at a time. I mean, the words are bad enough, right? The information that's coming out of his mouth is terrible and it's awful. But the actual sound, after about 30 minutes, the sound of John's voice is like being punched in the solar plexus. It's just as horrible, like a nauseous, like it makes me feel sick.
It's interesting because sometimes, after what you've said, I believe my voice must be below 20 hertz because often I'll speak to Mike for hours on end and he won't react. He cannot hear my voice. Once I just asked him if he wanted to come around to my house and he vommed everywhere.
I literally threw up
in
the air.
That's more extreme, isn't it?
Straight out.
Now, one of the things in Vic's lab was an old air conditioning unit that was broken, but it was turning very slowly, 19 times a second, roughly. And the corridor leading to the lab was just the right length, so it would have vibrated the same as the air conditioning unit, changing the pressure of the air, making that blade move without having direct contact.
Everyone in this room at the moment is underestimating the intelligence of the poltergeist.
Right. Okay.
Who's to say the poltergeist is not messing with the machinery to create the illusion that you're looking at a figure to see how air pressure works, so he can trick you into thinking he doesn't exist, so that he can exist and continue to play
now,
tricks.
For once, you see, I still think you're a Burke, but that's an interesting...
That's quite a good scientific question, that, isn't it?
That's amazing. Yeah.
The greatest trick the devil ever played was to make you think he doesn't exist.
Was that Al Pacino?
Ooh. Al Pacino said that. So,
so
scientists do ask those kind of questions, you know? Now, what we'd need next from you in science is for you to go and do some measurements to show that poltergeist can manipulate the air.
Got a really good idea. Create a lab.
He's about to burn all his bridges now because he said something partly scientific and now this is going to get a lot of
work. I mistakenly G'd him up.
I'm willing to go into a room by myself late at night and lie there.
Where's this going?
Like a bedroom.
Yeah, and will the poltergeist to move something?
Usually with science you'd need an external observer as well. So someone to verify what you've seen.
This chap over here, VHS tape recorder, me in a room, Mike watching.
To take things to the next level, I needed a type of haunted castle. Cue Craggy Noss, a type of haunted castle deep in the Neath Valley.
Now, we're here at this amazing building.
The room we're in now, imagine the best solarium you've ever been in. You know you have an extension on a house and it's mostly glass.
My parents have got an extension.
That, but a lot bigger, a lot nicer.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen him at my dad's extension.
It's not bad. You could get like two clothes areas in there.
You could put your parents' house inside this.
Inside
you could.
Yeah.
You could.
Yeah.
John brought me to meet Ghost Tour coordinator Steve Graham. in what was a really lovely solarium. I mean, proper, like top-notch, beautiful solarium.
Paranormal-wise, what sort of things have you got here?
There is activity, both residual and malevolent. Poltergeist activity manifests itself in many forms. We believe it's to do with the human energy that causes poltergeist activity. People who experience activity believe that's to do with your emotions, your feelings being absorbed by something to make manifest.
Like an aura, almost.
Yeah, it's similar, yeah, like an aura, okay. An energy.
People often say that I command respect as soon as I walk into a room.
Massively so, Mike.
I can see that.
If I walk down the street with him, I'll hear whisper, he's such a beautiful man, you know, coming from the passers-by, uh-huh. Sing Hosanna.
I can see why.
That sort of X factor. Mm.
The X factor.
Why hadn't I noticed this all along? Could Mike be the catalyst I needed to conjure up a poltergeist?
So you're saying that energy is important?
Very important.
I mean, I spend a lot of time with Mike.
Too much, if I'm honest.
Anger issues, I suppose, is that?
If you, notice, John, I don't have anger issues before you get there.
But then when
I don't have them after you've left. I have anger issues while you're there.
I mean, I've seen Mike punch a brick straight in half.
Believe me, if there was no judicial system, I would have punched you.
But he doesn't do that because we have a legal system in place that would get him in a lot of trouble.
Thanks be to God.
But I mean, is there a way we can harness the sort of energy that occurs between us to somehow try and get something to happen?
We could do, yes. To see if we can cause a spirit to communicate with us or cause an object to move.
Right, so say I just energised Mike, as I like to refer to it, by talking to him.
Yeah, that makes me very animated.
Just building up his energy. If a poltergeist was in the room, maybe, just maybe, the electrical force could conjure up a poltergeist.
Whether it's good or bad, if you don't know what you're doing, don't do it.
He would do that.
I have done that.
Not only would he do that, Steve, he has done.
I have. I went blue, didn't I?
I didn't care what colour I turned, but if Mike turned red, his raw emotion could trigger poltergeist activity.
So we're having the tour of Croyonos with Tim. This is all very nice, though, isn't it? This is lovely.
This is beautiful. I mean, it's really warm, it's really comfortable. The rooms all look really nice.
Down here, it is.
Right.
Feel the difference when you go up there.
Oh, right, okay.
Okay.
We're going to go into the derelict part of the building now.
Above the opulence of downstairs was a place that made my skin crawl, a place of foreboding, like John's kitchen, but not as bad.
So this is the original staircase.
Is this safe?
Yes, this is fine. Takes my weight anyway.
Wow, the carpet's disappeared.
The plaster's gone, the paint's gone.
Yeah.
Any sort of sense of comfort is gone.
Just a sort of smell of dust.
Yep, so this area obviously isn't open to the public.
Right.
This is what we use on our ghost tours.
This would freak me out doing a ghost tour. I don't believe in ghosts. Mm-hmm.
It can be quite eerie.
Atmospheric.
Yeah.
I feel not very nice up here.
This place was the perfect backdrop for some poltergeist theatre. Was the energy of a long-dead resident waiting to throw a ghostly show?
This belonged to Adelina Patti, the prima donna opera singer of her time. Adelina was an absolute superstar in her day. Basically, anywhere she was asked to sing and there wasn't a theatre, they would actually build one for her.
Wow.
She was that well-respected.
What's this? An opera singer lived here until 1919. Was Mike about to energise the noisiest spirit in the history of poltergeists?
You know, you think of big superstars. I did a gig at the Glamorganshire Golf Club. Mm. There was no stage there. And for me to sing there, we actually had to bring a PA system in.
So that's at least 200.
I was the first person to sing in the function room.
So that's almost on a par with Mike's experience with Adelina Patti's life.
Yeah, just scaled up 100,000 times.
Yeah.
My dad's friend, Clive, said it was one of the best nights he'd had in the last 3 or 4 years.
Doesn't get out much then.
Yeah. You can really feel that energy.
This is known as Adelina's boudoir. This room was where she actually did her first recording. Apparently the recording equipment was set up in a turret over the side there, and it would have been onto an old wax cylinder. Nothing digital in those days.
No.
This was where she first heard her own recorded voice.
Poltergeists love humans they can relate to. Mike had done singing and recorded his voice, just like Adelina. I could feel the build-up to a proper ghost projectile fest.
So what room is this then, Tim?
In Adelina's day, that would have been stateroom one.
Right.
So the likes of the Tsar and Tsarina of Russia, King and Queen of Spain, wow. King and Queen of France.
A real deal. And that's like the Nolans coming to stay, you know, something
Kardashians.
Like
Kardashians.
Yeah. Or the Kardashians, even better, you know, that's...
So you're telling me now that Tsar Nicholas could have been in there on that exercise bike just going for it?
I don't think the bike would have been there in that day, but...
Is that not an authentic exercise bike from...
Not from Adelina's time, okay. No. British royal family would have come here, Queen Victoria.
They came here?
Yeah, to watch Adelina in her very own theatre.
To a theatre.
The theatre's here, is it?
To the theatre here that Adelina built here.
In this little part of the Neath Valley in Wales?
Yeah.
Thinking about that family that you don't really like very much, you've got that double garage and they just show off the Audi all the time. They might have a cinema room.
Yes.
Still, that's nothing compared to this.
Right, it's a bit different in watching an A-lister on your TV in your extension, right, to having the Russian Tsar come into your theatre you've built for real in your house in Wales.
Mm-hmm.
The current owner bought it for his 40th birthday.
I had a watch. You know, I had a watch, and that was my sister and my mum and dad went half each.
The three of them went half each, did they?
Well, all right, Tim. I mean, my mum and dad paid half and my sister paid half.
Mike's emotional energy was off the scale. Any moment now, any moment.
It's a really strange mix of these memories of this amazing time when this woman owned this place and it was probably really glamorous and and then suddenly there's just this drop-off where...
Do you want to speak to me, mate? I'm getting quite deep now, get ready for this.
Go on, let it out.
This was it. Fling the spoons, levitate the tables.
I just feel a sense of sadness. It's that sort of fall from grace almost, do you know what I mean, John?
Yeah.
This woman had everything, right? And then she dies.
Yeah.
And now no one's heard of her.
Yeah.
And this place has gone to, well, certainly up here at least, to extremely unsettling ruin. People chase fame and fortune and celebrity. And it just makes you think, what's Kim Kardashian going to be in 150 years' time?
No flying tables, no smashing glasses. Just a big sad bloke in an old house with a little sad bloke sat next to him.
I think we have to remember that all we've got is each other, Mike. Until the first one of us goes, then it's just one of us by ourselves.
Right, can we go downstairs now?
Well, what an amazing place.
Yeah, thank you, Tim.
Absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Adelina, for not showing us around.
You're more than welcome to come on the ghost tour anytime.
Yeah, well, I can guarantee you 100% that won't be happening.
I'll come.
The Unexplainers is a Zipline production. Watch it for BBC Radio Radio Wales. Don't throw that.
Right, John, let's do a trailer, come on.
Okay, here we go. The Demon Seed is happening. It's now, it's here. It's about to open your mind to a whole new world of paranormal existence, mysteries, intrigue.
Yeah. Well, it's just that. It's things that, you know, is you talking about things that can't be explained.
Yeah.
And then me explaining them.
Unlike any other show that's been done, especially between the two of us ever.
Oh, yeah, nothing like anything we've done previously.
If you want to waste half an hour, then just click the link that will take you to this thing. And it
might be longer than that.
Yeah.
And it might be shorter than that.
Yeah.
But it'll be around that length of time.
I've got it. I've got it.
Go on.
I haven't got much on. Listen to the Demon Seed.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's
Walk
it.
In the dog. Listen to the Demon Seed.
And we can do it together. Yeah, yeah. So
Walk in the dog.
Listen to the Demon Seed.
Listen to the Demon Seed.
Washing up.
There we go. Listen to the Demon Seed. Paint on the wall.
Listen to the Demon Seed. I don't know many people.
Listen to the Demon Seed.
Don't like mixing. I want to stay in tonight.
Listen to the Demon Seed. You've been kicked up by your missus because she found out you've been fiddling next door. You're sleeping in your car.
Yeah.
Listen to the Demon Seed.
Had a power cut and I haven't got anything to do.
Earbuds still work because your phone was charged up.
Yes.
Listen to the Demon Seed.
Car broken down on the side of a motorway. No.
Be careful of that.
Okay.
Because you've got to be aware of traffic and stuff.
All right. How about this? Car broken down on the side of the motorway. Safely gone behind the barrier on the hard shoulder, away from the car, and called the authorities.
And then?
Listen to the Demon Seed. Yeah. That is a good trailer.
Crossing the road.
Don't listen to the Demon Seed.
Press pause.
Yeah.
Cross the road safely.
Get to the other side. And then
the pavement again. Listen to the Demon Seed.
Demon Seed, yeah. What other things are
going on? Going on an hour-long walk. Listen to the Demon Seed. But then the last sort of 15 minutes plus.
To
just listen to birdsong.
Nature.
Just listen to birdsong. You miss out a lot sometimes by having headphones on. You miss out on a lot.
Worried about being asked for spare change by homeless people?
Listen to the Demon Seed.
Listen to the Demon Seed.
Listen to the Demon Seed, yeah.
Or pretend, just pretend listening to the Demon Seed.
Yeah, classic. On a train, looking out the window.
Yeah.
Listen to the...
In a quiet Demon carriage, make sure it's very quiet.
Yeah. You don't want none of this...
Nothing worse. Although we haven't got any drum and bass in the Demon Seed.
No, I can get some in. I'm working on a track at the moment, actually.
Well, so. Don't, because it'll...
Yeah, think of that's true. Might ruin it.
No trains in it.
Okay. All right, well, I think we've given them a pretty good roundup of what to... How to utilise...
Well, producer reset a punchy 15 seconds, so that should nail it.
That's right in there. That is top of the chart.
That was perfect. Well done.
Brilliant.
Thanks, Reese.
No problem.
Producer Reese, there.
I like the way the standards are so low. That was
if you're producer Reese, you know, listen to the Demon Seed. You'll have to because he's doing the edit.
Yeah.